The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones that you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/Florio and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Florio, F-L-O-R-I-O. Thanks for your help.
I know y'all fans are ready to get us to get out there and handle business. So, the Bears, let's do it.
Commanders Nation, Jay and Daniels, man, I'm excited. Can't wait to get down there.
Can't wait to get to Boston, get to New England. Can't wait to get Gillette Stadium and meet y'all. And super excited to get to work, and let's go.
Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to meet you. And you know what it is.
Skol Vikings, come on. Let's go.
The Denver Broncos select Bo Nix.
Friday edition of PFT Live, the morning after round one of the draft, and look who it is for the full 2 hours while Chris Sims is getting his beauty rest, sleeping off his weed and his tequila from last night for 3 hours of doing a live show, double fisting, Devin McCourty getting his rest, ready to come in. Well, not that you had to go anywhere. It looks like you're at home, but great to have you, Devin. Great to see you. Appreciate you, buddy. How are you?
Man, always a good time coming on. And I saw, you know, Ahmed and Chris, and they had their little balloons, the Giants and the Lions stuff. So they were big fans last night. They forgot that we got to work sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And by the way, my typical approach to wardrobe is I wear the closest and the cleanest thing that I can find as I rush to come up here for the show. But I had to find something with the flying WV on it because I don't care how many fancy Super Bowl rings you have. I don't care about that red jacket you're eventually going to get when you go into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Here we go.
None of that matters because I got perpetual bragging rights over Devin McCourty and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and I'm going to remind you of it every time I remember to do so.
It's a dark history for me. I never beat West Virginia my whole time at Rutgers. Some disappointing losses I'll never forget. Being in West Virginia, a chance to go to BCS Bowl, we lose, and it's the first time I heard Country Road Take Me Home, and I've hated the song ever since. So you're welcome, Mike.
Well, we'll be playing it on the way to break or on the way back from break at some point during this show, even if we have to write a sizable check to the estate of John Denver. I was curious about last night while I was watching the draft and knowing that we were going to do this today. It's 14 years for you. 2010, the year you were first round pick of the Patriots. That was my first year with NBC. I was in Radio City Music Hall that year, if I recall correctly, and there's a chance I don't. What do you remember? What's the one thing that is enduring for you all these years later about the night that you were drafted by the Patriots?
My mom. You know, I think, you know, for me, the year before my brother was drafted and he was drafted in the sixth round. So, you know, we watched all of the draft days and we got all the way to the end. And, you know, for him, we were outside playing basketball. Like we were doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And for that night, for myself, we're in there. It's the first night of the draft and we don't know if we're going to get drafted. So we're just at home And, you know, once people know where you live, you've been in the same town, people just started showing up. So we look up, there's like 25 people in the house. And I get drafted after my mom had, like, she's like, I can't watch this anymore. She goes in the room, she's going back and forth, and then you get drafted. And it was the same exact reaction the year before when my brother got drafted. She started crying, hugged us, and it was just an awesome experience. And I think, you know, getting drafted to New England was unique because you get on the phone call and it's like, congratulations. And it's like, all right, you ready to come up here and get to work? That's what we're focused on. Let's make this pick the right pick. And it was an awesome time. And I think for every kid, everybody that got drafted last night and we'll get drafted this weekend, it's a dream come true, but it's also a reminder you got to make your name now in the NFL and go do the work.
When you answered the phone call from New England, who was on the other end?
So the funny thing is I didn't answer the phone call. I was in the bathroom and my brother answered the phone. And it was... It started with Bears Nigerian, who was like Bill's assistant and really ran operations in New England. And then he put Mr. Kraft on the phone. And that's when my brother talked to Kraft. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to put Bill on. And Jay ran to the bathroom. And I was finishing up, washing my hands. He was like, you just got drafted as Bill. And then I took the phone. So the first person I spoke to was Coach Belichick. My brother did the rest of the work.
So wait, so your brother, did he pretend to be you with Mr. Kraft? Is that what it was?
No doubt about it. We went right back into the normal twin life of somebody calls and they don't know which was which. You just going, you're Devin, or sometimes I was Jason.
So was that you or Jason the other night sitting courtside with RKK?
Jason's not big time enough to pull that off. That was me connecting with some friends. That was me courtside.
What a week you've had. Just think about it. A truly charmed life. You're sitting courtside at the Celtics playoff game on a Wednesday night with Robert Kraft, and you're here with me today hosting PFT Live for the full 2 hours. I was trying to read lips yesterday. I really was. I wanted to know what you were saying to him. I wanted to know what he was saying to you. I wanted to know, and I didn't want to infringe on our relationship. We're still kind of getting to know each other, although after spending Sundays together for 20 straight weeks last year, I feel like we've known each other forever. It's like, boy, man, what did he tell him about the draft? What did he tell him about the third overall pick? But I didn't want to put you in that spot.
You know what's funny? Every text message I got that night, the local beat reporters in New England, random people, fans, did he tell you who we're going to draft? Did he tell you? And I was like, no, he didn't tell me who they're going to draft. And like everybody that came up to us that night was like, who you guys taking, Robert? Who do they take? So, but it was fun. You know, I think that day, earlier in the day, before I was at Gillette, and I sat down with Gerard Mayo and Matthew Slater for almost an hour and just talking. But it was cool just being around Kraft and, you know, even talking about like all of these things that have been popping up between him and Bill, and he supposedly said this and all of that. And he was just telling me like, it's kind of disappointing seeing all of this. He's like, we're trying to move forward. We're trying to get our team right. And he was like, I have no ill intentions towards Bill and anything that's going on with Bill. So it was just fun for us to catch up and talk about some different things. But they're excited about, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, even from talking to Gerard before the draft, he was excited. He said, you know, we like Jaden Daniels and we like Drake May. And if those guys are available, we'd love to take them. He said, but if somebody comes and they're calling and they wait until the last hour and they want to give us some crazy package, and I'm guessing that didn't happen last night and they took Drake May, but they were excited about, you know, the prospects that were on the board. And it was fun for me just to get to talk to those guys about everything.
Yeah, Devin, it really seemed to crystallize a couple of hours before the draft that they were going to stay put. They were going to make that pick. And when you know you've exhausted whatever trade opportunities might have been available and you've gotten the last best offer and it's not posturing, the clock has struck 12, it's done, there's no reason to keep it a state secret anymore. Everybody knows it's going to go Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Patriots are on the board, they're taking Drake May. I got that text around 6:15-ish that they're staying put and they're taking Drake May, and that's ultimately what they did. The third quarterback taken in the draft in three picks and for the first time ever, and there it is. And look, I've gone back and forth on what I thought was going to happen. And, you know, not long ago, there was a school of thought that all this talk about six quarterbacks taken in the top 13 was just being pushed by the teams that want to have players at other positions fall to them. So yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's have quarterback, 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 quarterback. Let's do it over and over again so we can get our pick of everyone else. But there it is. First time ever, six quarterbacks in the first 12, matching 1983, which took about the full round. It was near down the bottom of the round when the Dolphins took Dan Marino. I think it was the next last pick because they'd been in the Super Bowl the year before against Washington. So 6-12, a record, 14-14. I think it was 14-14. It was 14-14 offensive players to start the draft. You know, as a defensive player, I'm sure you loved every minute of that, offensive player after offensive player for the first 14 selections.
It was a reminder that the last two seasons scoring has been down. And, you know, I think all of these good teams point. Realize the first thing is when you turn on the NFL and you see a guy like Patrick Mahomes, team is up and down and he goes, and when it's time to go, he makes the plays, they go win. Everybody realizes there's no more important position than quarterback. And even from my time sitting in Gillette, and I was talking to Mayo, and he was like, you know, we know we need picks and we need more talent in here and we want to get a bunch of guys, but like we need the quarterback of the future. We need a guy that we know that we can say, hey, this guy's going to lead us. And I think all those teams, you know, that drafted quarterbacks, you know, in that top, you know, top six teams, and you go in there and you say, hey, first 12 picks, we're going to take six quarterbacks. It's almost like you watch it and you say, well, obviously six quarterbacks that early, not all of them are going to work out. But all these teams believe that they got the guy of the future, that they know that they can say, hey, we're going to go into the next five to 10 years and this guy can be a good guy for us, or we'll have to do this all over again. But it's very interesting to see. But I think that scoring being down and defense is playing better, and then the impact that quarterbacks can have watching C.J. Stroud last year are making teams just way more aggressive and going to get the guy that they like.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Hey, look, there aren't places you can go acquire franchise quarterbacks. The teams that have them don't trade them. The free agents that are available every year, and there's more starting quarterbacks, Devin, than ever before available in free agency, they're not true franchise quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins has been available twice, but he's been available twice for a reason. And yeah, he got a big contract in Minnesota when Washington didn't want to give him that big contract. And then he got a big contract in Atlanta when the Vikings didn't want to match that. But he's not shortlist Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud. That's what everybody's looking for. And the only place you're going to get it is if you roll the dice on one of these guys coming out in the draft and you get a guy who's got a ceiling higher than you anticipated and you can get him there. I think that's the other thing that gets lost in all of this. And I was saying before the draft, if I'm any of these guys, I want to be at a team that's going to get me to my ceiling. Yes. And, you know, this isn't my purple bias coming out. I feel like Kevin O'Connell is the guy who's going to get whoever he ended up with to his ceiling in the other places, especially the top three. You got defensive head coach, offensive coordinator, who's going to get a head coaching job if the new quarterback does really well, and then you're going to be in that Josh Allen mode where, hey, Brian Daboll, this is great. Oh, wait, now it's Ken Dorsey and we stink on offense. All due respect to Ken Dorsey. That's the big challenge now, is getting these guys to their ceiling, because if they fail, it's not always them. It's the circumstances. It's the team around them. It's the coaching. And I don't want to say it's not any of their fault at all, but part of it is, who is there to get this guy to be the best he can be?
You're preaching to the choir. I was in New England the last couple of years and drafting Mac Jones and seeing how that all unfolded was, you know, is Mac Jones the guy for any franchise? Like, that's yet to be seen. But when he walked into New England, it seemed like it was the perfect fit with Josh McDaniels and the people that were around. And the next thing you know, like you just said, the same thing could happen in, you know, in some of these other places where, you know, Shane Waldron takes off from Chicago and now you don't have that offensive mind there. And Mac Jones had to go through that. So I think this has been a unique draft because of the COVID year. So some of these guys have had long college careers. They've been in multiple places. So you usually wouldn't have this many quarterbacks available that you think could be the guy. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. Whatever people think of J.J. McCarthy and what he can and can't do, I think he showed at his pro day he has a certain skill set that can be successful in the NFL. And I think for Kevin O'Connell, he looked at that and said, hey, I just played last year with like three or four different quarterbacks and we were able to still have a chance to be successful. Give me a guy with a skill set. Give me a guy that, you know, with Harbaugh being in Michigan, seems like he can understand and pick up an offense and run things. And he's a guy that's very willing to go out there and say, hey, I just want to do what's best for the team. You know, it felt like last year, Michigan's best team in football. If he goes out there and has a big year, he's going to win the Heisman. He's like, I'd rather win a national championship, whatever that looks like. And I think for him going in, and you're going to get the chance to throw to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Hockenson, what a great offensive mind who's not going anywhere. It just seems like if you're a Michigan fan, you're going to love rooting for Minnesota because he's going to go out there and probably play good ball. He's probably going to do it right away. So I'm excited to see that. And I think Caleb Williams is going to have a shot because of Shane Waldron and what they built around him on offense. This whole, the whole city of Chicago, they can't wait to see this work. They want to see it work. So like you said, though, it's going to be all about the longevity of that and how much can he pick up and everybody around him pick up to take off, not just this year, but years after, to continue to build and build so he can turn into the player that everybody thinks he can be.
First franchise quarterback potentially for the Bears since Sid Luckman. That's not a bit. That's not a joke. That's the absolute truth. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl with Jim McMahon, but that was the defense. Jay Cutler never got to franchise quarterback level. He went to one NFC championship game during his time there. He compiled some stats, but he wasn't a franchise quarterback for the Bears. That's what Caleb Williams wants to do. But again, to put a final button on this point, J.J. McCarthy is going to have continuity. He's going to have Sean Payton, Drew Brees potential in Minnesota. Bo Nix is going to have Sean Payton, Drew Brees potential in Denver with Sean Payton. The question is, how long is Payton going to stay? And if Bo Nix ends up becoming the guy, Sean Payton's going to stay a hell of a lot longer than he otherwise would have.
There's no doubt about it. And I saw Sims even talking about this before, just the fit of Bo Nix with Sean Payton, that on paper it looks like this could be the guy. But that's the scary thing. I think when you are a coach like Sean Payton, who knows exactly what he wants in a quarterback, and now you have to take a quarterback out of the draft, and Bo Nix has had a pretty long career playing in two different spots, has had success. But if it doesn't work, you're sitting there with this huge cap hit this year because you decided Russell Wilson just wasn't the guy for you, and now you're taking this huge chance. But I think for what we've seen in Sean Payton's career, what he's been able to do, you got to, I think if you're Denver, you got to be excited. You got to say, hey, we went and we traded picks to get this coach in here for a reason. We got to believe in what he sees and what Bo Nix can bring to the table. And I think that starts now. But I think all of the guys that's been moving out of Denver, whether it's been on defense with Justin Simmons and Russell Wilson leaving, like there's a lot of moving parts. And I think they're still trying to find the exact rhythm as a team, not just the quarterback, but I think overall, how much is this team invested in what Sean Payton has brought, what they're doing? That's a lot of change when you go get you go put out so much for a quarterback and then the coach comes in and says, this guy's not good enough. We need to move on. We need to move on from some of our veteran defensive players. Like, there's a lot going on that I think they're going to have to figure out more than just a quarterback position.
And they need to win some games because that's the only thing that's going to make those new uniforms look better. We've seen that with other teams. Uniform looks like crap. They start winning games. Hey, that uniform all of a sudden looks pretty good.
You don't like those jerseys?
Here's what I don't like. And I don't think we put this up the other day, but I featured it on our Twitter feed, or X as the case may be. They got like 9 or 10 combinations now. It's like Oregon. And I knew this was going to happen. When Nike took over the contract, You're going to have a different helmet and jersey and pants every damn week. And I don't want to work that hard to know who's playing in a game. I don't. There it is. Look at that. Is that nine different teams? No, that's just one team, Devin. Could you imagine the Patriots doing something like that?
That's why you're old school. The new generation love this. The guys, they're going to get these helmets. They're going to throw a throwback jersey in there, throwback helmet. Like, you get to take all that stuff home. Give me all the new jerseys. I love the combination. I'm not old as Mike, so I can look and see Brock and Denver. Mile High Collection. Rock out.
There's a reason why the Raiders have never changed their uniforms. There's a reason why the Cowboys have never changed their uniforms, why the Packers have never changed their uniforms. Hell, when I was your age or a little bit younger, the most controversial thing that ever happened was the Steelers ditched the squared off numbers for the rounded numbers in 1995. And that was like, whoa, what's going on here? The Steelers, my God, what's gotten into Art Rooney and Dan Rooney? So anyway, I'll like those uniforms a lot better if the Broncos can find a way to win more games. They haven't been to the playoffs. I mean, think about that. They haven't been to the playoffs since they won Super Bowl 50. And it's been a revolving door of quarterbacks that just haven't gotten it done, and now they think they have it with Bo Nix. Yesterday, Sims and I spent a lot of time under the assumption that it was going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. And we didn't know which order May and McCarthy would go in, but we were, you know, it was becoming more and more clear as of yesterday. May was the third guy. It's just which team was going to get him. So then McCarthy, and then there was a separation. Michael Penix and Bo Nix not invited to the draft by the NFL, supposedly because they didn't want to have a Will Levis free fall. They didn't want anyone to be embarrassed by that. So they didn't view, based upon what was available to them, Penix and Nix as potential lock first rounders. So, you know, we came to the conclusion yesterday, because the over-under on quarterbacks in round one was 4.5. It's like, that's too low. It's got to be 5.5, and we're inclined to go over, and it was 6. But the surprise was that Penix got into the top 10 and went before J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we said yesterday, Penix was the guy that when someone took him, it was going to be an oh-crap moment. That was going to be, I said this yesterday, the first oh shit moment of the draft. Uh-huh. Sorry, every community in the UK, was when Michael Penix went. And it was. That was the first surprise. Everything was kind of chalk, 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 chalk. And then boom, the Falcons drop the first bomb of the night and the biggest bomb of the night by taking Michael Penix Jr. when they just gave $100 million guaranteed as a practical matter to Kirk Cousins. What was your reaction when you heard the commissioner say Michael Penix Jr.?
You know, I'm not an insider, so I'm thinking there's no way Atlanta goes quarterback. And then after I saw people talking about, well, this was always a possibility that they would get a quarterback in the draft, I'm thinking you give somebody a $180 million contract that this is the guy you're going to ride out with. You know, what is it, 100 guaranteed on that, whatever you want. I'm thinking, this is our guy of the future. How do we get better right now? We're in the NFC South. Tampa won it last year. They got to feel like they're not far off. So I'm thinking, you know, everyone's talking about they're going to go get a pass rusher. So I'm thinking Dallas Turner is going to Atlanta, and he's going to bring in that pass rusher. He's going to make the defense a little bit better. Jesse Bates had a big year coming in and free safety. So I'm like, this team continues to build. They got Kirk Cousins. There's a vision there. And then you hear they were like, you know, we want to find a guy that's a culture fit. And you look at Michael Penix Jr., it just has the vibe and feelings that he could be the quarterback of the future for the Atlanta Falcons. He can be that. And then I saw everything with Kirk Cousins and his agent saying he was shocked and disappointed. And I was like, well, that's not a good start for a team with a guy coming off an Achilles injury. Coming off an Achilles, an older quarterback, a young guy that comes in now. Now I'm sitting here like, well, what is the future? Is Kirk Cousins there for a year, maybe 2 years, a year and a half to kind of be the example? Because Kirk Cousins, all you've ever heard about his time in the NFL is he's a great guy. He's a leader. He does. So it's like, do they just want him to learn and then he's going to go play sooner than we think? So that caught me way off guard. I just did not see that, but enjoyed watching Michael Penix Jr. I know his injury history and all of that, but it just feels like if he can sit for a little while and then get out there and play, he can be as impressive as he was in Washington for those two seasons.
Immediately after the pick was made, Devin, there were scattered reports that emerged attributed to unnamed sources about how surprised Kirk Cousins was by the move. And they were popping up like mushrooms in the middle of summertime. I don't know how good of a metaphor that is, but just move on. But, you know, sometimes they work, bro, and sometimes they don't. So, what was my point? Oh, here's my point. Eventually, Mike McCartney, who represents Kirk Cousins, goes on the record. Like, you know, he's leaking and leaking and leaking and not putting his name to it. And I think at some point he finally got sufficiently dismayed and pissed off, and he was probably dealing with a client who was sufficiently dismayed and pissed off that it's time to go on the record. It's time to make it known. And here's what Mike McCartney told Mike Garofalo of NFL Media. Yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up. Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation. That's a wow quote. Hey, you know what? What are you going to do? Fire me? You gave me $90 million fully guaranteed. Yep. And the next $10 million is going to become fully guaranteed by next March. I can say whatever I want, and I don't like this. Now, I got some things to say about that. First of all, the truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. That's just incorrect. We talked about it yesterday. We mentioned yesterday that's where the whoa could happen, that the Falcons could take him at 8 because they brought him in for a visit. Teams do not waste their time bringing in, like, there's no smokescreen to be deployed by the Falcons to bring in Michael Penix Jr. for a visit. That's why I said the Steelers would have been in play if he'd fallen to 20. The Steelers don't bring a guy in just to screw with him and to waste their time. You got too much to do in the run-up to the draft. So, but still, the reason to be pissed is exactly what you said. Aren't we trying to win? Aren't we? I mean, this is the 8th overall pick. You could add any defensive player you wanted. You could have gotten a tackle to keep me upright, because we know that Kirk Cousins can't do anything off schedule. The walls close in and the play's over if the play that's designed isn't there. So that's what's got to be frustrating. That's why I think Aaron Rodgers, and hey, at least you got the phone call. Aaron Rodgers didn't get the courtesy of the phone call 4 years ago. He's sitting there watching the draft on TV and they say the Packers select Jordan Love. He's like, what the hell is this? So, hey, you know what? The honeymoon's over, Devin.
Yep.
When you're giving a guy that much money, and you got draft picks to make, you know, maybe he's wishing in hindsight that the NFL had finished the tampering investigation and taken away the Falcons' 8th overall pick last night, because it's got the same effect as it relates to helping Kirk Cousins do anything in Atlanta.
And it was interesting because even watching what they released late last night or early this morning, the video where Raheem Morris is on the phone and he said what you just said. Hey, man, we didn't fly all the way out to the West Coast of Washington for nothing. When we came out there, we were evaluating you. We knew if you're there, we were taking you. So I just think it's a bad start for team building, whatever you want to call the Kirk Cousins free agent signing and what it did for the team and the belief of moving on from what you had last year. I just think it creates this weird vibe. You know, even in New England when we had Cam Newton, and that was totally different than paying a guy $100 million guaranteed, and then we draft Mac Jones. Because I know the whole defensive side and all of training camp was, who's going to start? Some of the guys was like, man, we should still go with Cam, what he can bring. And then some of the guys are like, well, you know, if we watch Mac in practice, he looks like he's going to be a guy that's not going to play like a rookie. He seems smart. So you have all these back and forth conversations. So now you're going to get the number 8th pick come into your building. And then Kirk Cousins is going to be still coming off this injury. So I'm sure he's going to have some good days, some bad days. I just think they're going to have a lot of back and forth of guys in that locker room saying who they kind of want to each other. And I think they're going to have to be on top of that. I think Raheem Morris is a guy that's going to be able to connect with this team and build. And he's an honest, upfront, straight shooter. So I think that's going to help. But I can just see some like weird vibes going on around this team, especially if they don't get off to a good start and it doesn't look good early, whether that's training camp, preseason games, early in the season, it's going to create some kind of dismay I can see in the locker room, which will be a little awkward.
Devin, that's an excellent point. And how many times have we seen that play out? and you create that environment by bringing in, with the eighth overall pick, a quarterback. How many years is he going to sit? What's the over-under? Two?
Mm-hmm.
Do they just move on from Cousins after 2025 and say Michael Penix is ready? How many years do you put Michael Penix on the bench? When the Packers put Jordan Love on the bench for 3 years, you know, people are like, when's this guy going to get a chance?
Mm-hmm.
Hell, for the guys taken in 2021, 3 years later, they're traded away for nothing.
All gone.
For four of the five guys taken in the top 15. And Michael Penix, if everything goes the way it's supposed to with Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix isn't going to play at all. I think what it just does, it undermines the vibe that they were building. And if you've got veterans on that team, and every team's got veterans, the veterans are going to be thinking, what are we doing here? Are we trying to win now? What are we trying to do here? We had the eighth overall pick for the third straight year. They go from Kyle Pitts. It may have been the fourth straight year. They had Kyle Pitts. I can't remember when they got Drake London, but then they get Bijan Robinson. They got the eighth overall pick again. And let's get a guy. How about on defense? It's going to help us not just get to the playoffs. Getting to the playoffs is the easy part if you're in the NFC South, all due respect to the other teams. The hard part is winning in the postseason. You need pass rush to win in the postseason. You got to put heat on the opposing quarterbacks, especially if you have any designs to win a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. You better be able to get to him. Oh, well, yeah, we could have had any pass rusher we wanted. We went with a guy who, if everything goes the way as planned, is never going to play.
We got a guy on the bench. Great name, great prospect, great future, but he's not going to help us right now. Yeah.
And so that's why I can understand the dismay. If I'm a Falcons fan, I don't know what to think. If I'm Kirk Cousins, hey, and this is the other side of it too. And I mention this from time to time, kind of sarcastically. You didn't know I was that way, did you, Devin? You've never heard that from me. But,
a little bit.
You know, but last year on that Netflix quarterback series, Cousins makes the big deal. And you and I have talked about this before. He doesn't work on Tuesdays during football season when it's a Sunday to Sunday schedule. I got a feeling he's going to be working on Tuesdays now. Because you know who is going to be there on Tuesdays? You know who's going to be there on Tuesdays? Michael Penix Jr. is going to be there on Tuesdays. Because Michael Penix Jr. is going to be doing everything he can to prove himself to the Atlanta Falcons that he's ready to play now. I mean, yeah, he'll say all the right things. I understand. I understand I have to sit. I don't want to. And I'm going to – I mean, that's how Tom Brady was in New England. He goes in there as the fifth guy on the depth chart, and he's determined to win the starting job and keep the starting job. And that's how Penix is going to be. So – there was just a nice, satisfying glow coming from the Falcons. And now it's like, what's going on? And if it does make Cousins, as Chris would say, it's the red hot poker on Cousins to get him to really go all in with his time, with his effort, with his dedication, with everything he needs to do, then yeah, it may ruffle some feathers, but it's going to help the Falcons be better than they would have been potentially.
And I love that you brought up Brady, because I was watching the Pat McAfee show last night because Bill Belichick was on there, and Pat goes to Bill. Well, you know, Kirk Cousins, and he showed the tweet from somebody else. I think it was still just reported at the time that he was disappointed and shocked. And he was like, but Bill, they're paying a guy $100-something million. Like, they're not going to sit him. And then he kind of pauses because Bill doesn't say anything at first. And then it dawns on Pat. He was like, oh, shit. You're the guy, you benched Drew Bledsoe, $100 million. And Bill said it. He said, when you get a guy like this in the building, it's competition. So you're going to play the guy that you think is going to give you the best chance to win. And ultimately, that's what it came down to. Midseason, we go to Brady. And yes, he gets hurt in the playoff game, but we still felt like he gave us the best chance to win. And that's what's going to come for the Falcons at some time. You know, Raheem Morris goes over there. They bring Zach Robinson in there. Zach Robinson got drafted to the Patriots the same year as I did. Then he's in, you know, in L.A. with Sean McVay. They got rid of Jared Goff as they went to the Super Bowl and lost and said, hey, he's not the guy that we need here. We're going to go get Matt Stafford. So he still comes a little bit from that background of the guy that gives us the best chance to win is going to play. So I just thought it was interesting last night hearing that, because I think the average person, just like me, is like, well, this is going to be down the road because Kirk Cousins is the guy now because of what they're paying him. And the truth is, when you're a head coach and you're not in charge of making those GM decisions, you might sit there and say, hey, my job is on the line and I'm going to go with my gut. Now, if I think Michael Penix Jr. right now gives us the best chance because Kirk Cousins is an older quarterback, he tore his Achilles, maybe he doesn't look the same. Same thing they said with Drew Bledsoe. Ernie Adams was on the Dynasty documentary saying, you know, he had got hit a lot. He wasn't the same quarterback that we watched that was standing there and throw the ball. He was a little worried about the rush. So they evaluated him that way and said, hey, let's get this young guy in there. So I think that could happen with this Atlanta team. And if it does happen like that, it happens earlier than we think, then for Kirk Cousins, that's going to be a shock. Because we know during the season when we brought that up, Mike was all against. He was like, the best quarterbacks work on Tuesday. And I was the former player who was like, I kind of like that he spends time with his family. And I understand both sides of it because it comes down to spend as much time with your family as you want. Let's win.
Challenge flag. I made a beeline for you when we met in Canton.
Yep.
And I said, this Kirk Cousins not working on Tuesday. What would Tom Brady say about that? And you were like,
Tom. He wasn't for it.
Yeah, right. So
as I said, I respect it. But yeah, right. Exactly.
I remember that. But if you want to be the guy that can do this with all the rings on your hands, you got to be there. You have to. What Brady said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm probably going to get the specifics wrong. If you want to beat me, you have to give your life over to this, because I have.
The guy used
so
to
you got
to
give
facility.
Your entire life over to it.
He would sleep at the facility if we got back late instead of driving home. He would just go to the facility, take a couple hours so he could wake up and get to treatment at 5 a.m. or 5:30 in the morning and start for the next week. I heard Kobe Bryant speak one time and he said, to be great in basketball, I knew I had to sacrifice being a better husband, a better dad, a better son. And you sit there and you're like, damn, that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. Like all the guys who have rare greatness and hit levels that are, you know, unprecedented to everybody else, they're psychos. Like that's the only way to describe them. They're just psychos. So that's not meant for everybody. And like you just said, Kirk Cousins is going to have to look across the room now and he might run into a guy who's a little bit of a psycho who's going to be pushing him. And now it turns into, well, what are you going to do? Because at some level he could say, I'm going to collect this $100 million. It is what it is. And I'm going to continue to do my routine and do what I think is best for myself.
He's never had to deal with this, Devin. He was the guy who was in the right place at the right time, the guy the Shanahans liked the year that they had RG3 forced upon them in 2012. And when they finally got an opening to let Cousins play, he started to play well. And by year four of Griffin's career, because he had the fifth-year option picked up, it was guaranteed for injury. That's what the rule was at the time. They basically put RG3 in bubble wrap and said, we're not letting him get near the field this year because we don't want him to get injured and owe him all that money next year when we've decided to move on. Mm-hmm. Cousins is the guy. And then they just never, you know, they never wanted to pay him, but they tagged him twice, and then he goes to Minnesota, and he's the guy there. And 2021, the Vikings thought about taking Justin Fields, but they got jumped by the Bears. Kevin O'Connell mentioned last week he's been the basically Dr. Doom in Minnesota when they've been trying to draft other quarterbacks the past couple of years, saying, I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy. Cousins never had a number two, almost like Peyton Manning. You know, Tom Brady had Jimmy Garoppolo and this guy and this guy. Peyton Manning always had a guy that was never going to play. That's how it's been for Cousins. He never had a real backup behind him who was a threat to the QB1 status, and now he does. And how is he going to react? And this is why I want to hear what Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot said about the decision to take Penix. Because my question is this a genius move by them or have they outsmarted themselves? Let's have a listen to what they said after the Penix pick was made last night.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is... you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do, we won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly. And we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments. and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games, and we should be picking high enough. We talked about winning the South. We talked about doing some of these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen six quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now.
It all makes sense when they explain it. But this gets back to the original point we made. Why didn't they tell Kirk that that was their plan? Because I have a feeling that, I mean, based on the reaction from his agent, that completely and totally blindsided, completely contrary to everything that they had said to Kirk. You're our guy. Let's go win. Let's get guys to help you win. We're going to win. Oh, let's draft a guy that's going to be on the bench while you play. Yep. And that very reasonable, that's the kind of thing, because it's automatic. Every business is a relationship business. And it undermines the relationship that was still forming between Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. And it is literally the turd in the punch bowl now that Kirk Cousins has to deal with. And it goes completely against everything that he was led to believe by the Falcons. He's the guy. Let's go win. And why didn't you trust me to tell me that you're thinking about drafting Michael Penix? If you explained it all to me and hadn't caught me flat-footed with this thing that embarrassed me, and, you know, and the problem is if you talk about it too much, then what happens? Then Penix is gone because somebody jumps in front of the Falcons because they know that the Falcons want Penix. That's the challenge. But now, you know, they've got some work to do to repair this with Cousins. They got to get Cousins to understand why they didn't explain it to him the way that he would have preferred.
Well, and it's this thought process of like, yes, we can win now, but it's almost like there's a cap. We're not going to be drafting at 31 or 32. We don't see ourselves in that, but we see, you know, we're probably going to be back around 22 to 20 because we're going to be good enough to win the division. We're going to make the playoffs. You know, Raheem Morris said it right there. Like, we expect to, you know, win the South and be in the playoffs. But they never said with Kirk Cousins, we expect to be contenders. We expect to be in Super Bowls. It just doesn't give that vibe. So if you're Kirk Cousins, this whole thought of like, they believe in me, they paid me all this money, we're going to go win, we're going to get the guys in here to go win, it kind of throws that out the door. That's not really what they're looking for. They're looking for a guy that can make sure this team is a good football team, they can have a good culture, they can win games. So then at some point, Michael Penix Jr. takes over, and he doesn't have to take over a team that's at the bottom of the league. He gets to come in almost like a Patrick Mahomes when Alex Smith was there. This team was good. We played them 1 year in 2015 in the divisional round. We beat them in a divisional round. So it was like, this is a good football team. They're right there. They're making the playoffs. They're winning the division or competing to win the division, getting in the playoffs. But they're just not – they need something to take them over the hill. And you feel like this is what it's setting up to be. Kirk Cousins goes in there maybe a year and a half, and he's building this team. This team's getting better. They're doing things the right way. They're right in the divisional wild card. Maybe they're winning that to get to the divisional. And then now when Michael Penix Jr. takes over after watching, you're like, okay, now we're a contender. It has those vibes. And as a player for Kirk Cousins, you just don't like that. He had opportunities to be probably different places. And now you look back and it's a couple months later and you're like, man, I probably would have made a different decision if I knew I was just the guy to get us to the dance and then they're going to kick me out so somebody else can have a better night at the end of the dance.
That is an excellent point. I hadn't thought of the Alex Smith thing because the difference is in Kansas City, Alex Smith had been there and had gotten 4 or 5 years to convince Andy Reid and company that he could take them to the promised land, and they decided he can't. We need to get another quarterback to get us higher than a team that is just in the playoffs. And, you know, just good enough is just good enough. That's the tag I'd hung on the Vikings during the Kirk Cousins years. But the difference is he hasn't even played for the Falcons yet. And they're coming to the conclusion that you're the just good enough guy. We've got the guy that's going to take us to the promised land. So you're going to get us to a level that's like a step on the way to where we want to be. We're going to get to where we want to be with the next guy. You're just the guy that's going to get us to here. That's what the confusion is going to be. And you're right. He could have stayed in Minnesota and built on what we saw last year. After that Monday night game against the 49ers, Two straight years of working with Kevin O'Connell. Best game of his career on that Monday night, which made the torn Achilles 6 days later even more tragic for him. But, yeah, he could have stayed there where, you know, maybe we make the right moves and bring in the right people in free agency, and I don't demand $100 million fully guaranteed and leave some money behind for Justin Jefferson and whatnot. We can take the next step. Now in Atlanta, before they've even taken the first step, he's finding out you're going to be out the door by the time we take that step.
Yep.
That, and again, if it makes him, this is all what it comes down to. He's pissed off, clearly. What does he do about
it? Yep.
Does he go count his money? Does he sulk? Does he accept that this is his legacy, that this is who he is, and I've made $250 million in my career? Or does he say, you know what, this is the moment that a different Kirk Cousins emerges, like the origin story for some superhero, even though it's happened at age 35. This is the time that it all flips and I turn into some badass that's going to go out there and deliver. One playoff win in his career. So the Falcons knew exactly what they were getting when they gave him that money. They're getting a guy who is going to get you to a certain point. And the, you know, the splash of cold water for Kirk Cousins is the team, through their actions, saying that. And like I said, going forward, Devin, the challenge is, what do they say to him now? How do they deal with him now to get the relationship to where it needs to be? Or is their attitude, hey, this is, you know, this is big boy league.
It is what it is, yep.
You're getting a lot of money. You're unhappy with the money? The money's still coming. We don't have to not draft a quarterback. We don't even have to play you. All we have to do is pay you, and you're going to get every last dollar. Is that okay? So it's going to be interesting to see what Cousins says, just the vibe that we get. The Falcons become a great reality show team now going forward.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right on the head. A lot of this is going to be on the energy that Kirk Cousins demonstrates the next time he's in front of a microphone and he's talking, or if he's in an offseason program, like whatever it is. He doesn't have leverage in this situation, but he sure can make this a lot difficult. If the first time he gets asked about Penix Jr., he goes and he doubles down on, I was shocked, I don't really understand. If he goes that route, I don't care what they say or what they try to do, it's going to create some kind of division or something in the locker room, because now you're going to have Kirk Cousins, this older guy who's going to be the quarterback that you saw, Kyle Pitts, all these guys were excited, and you get Michael Penix Jr. that comes in, and because of COVID and all that, he's going to be 24 next month. He's going to have a direct connection with some of those younger guys. They're going to be around the same age. How much do they hang out? How much do they throw with Michael Penix Jr. after practice or in the off? Like, all of those things are going to start to come into play if Kirk Cousins decides to just say, I just wasn't happy with this. But I think what we've seen, I think Kirk Cousins, I think he's going to be the guy. I think some time will pass. I think he's going to say, hey, it is what it is. He's going to come out right attitude, say all the right things. But how he acts behind doors will be very interesting to see.
As someone once told me of Kirk Cousins and his leadership abilities, he couldn't eat a lion couldn't lead a lion to eat raw meat. So this is going to be a major challenge for him. He already has come out and said that, you know, in the cafeteria, one of the teammates said, you give off dad energy. And these are all very real dynamics. And then you get him on the practice field. And you know, you got Cousins, you got Penix. If Penix is close, if Penix looks better, it's going to be a big mess. And the one time we've already seen Cousins in front of a microphone with the Falcons, he basically admitted to four tampering violations the Falcons committed during the 52-hour negotiating window. It'll be funny if he comes back the next time and says, you know all that stuff I said in March? Yeah, they did tamper. Yeah, it did happen. Yeah, come get him. How do you like that, Raheem Morris? How do you like that, Terry Fontenot? How do you like that, Arthur Blank? That's what you get for disrespecting me. But all kidding aside, this is going to be a mess that needs to be cleaned up. And let's see how the Falcons do it. And let's see if it works. And let's see what happens with that locker room vibe. And they won't be able to keep it quiet because everybody's going to be poking around now. The Falcons become that team where, for those of us who follow football for a living and want to talk about it and analyze it and are looking for interesting stories, poking around the fringes of what's going on with Atlanta How are they feeling about Penix? How are they feeling about Kirk? How's Kirk handling it? What's Penix doing? How's he carrying himself? I mean, this is one hell of an experiment that the Falcons have concocted. They poured some chemicals together, Devin, and it's either going to explode or it's going to work. And I don't think anybody knows at this point.
Yeah, what's the Hard Knocks rules? Can we mandate and make it mandatory that Hard Knocks is in Atlanta? I want to see Hard Knocks Atlanta. I want that.
Maybe they'll do NFC South. They're going to do full divisions in the season now.
Yep.
So maybe they'll do NFC South because I think the Falcons would be exempted because they have a new head coach. New head coach gets you a pass, unfortunately. Yeah. So Falcons gave us the big surprise. The Vikings did not give us a surprise. We knew they were going to get a quarterback. We just didn't know which one. We'll break down the Vikings' move to get their potential franchise quarterback when this Friday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.